Today, hopefully, is a historic day for English speakers in Breslov that we're beginning to record Likutei Halachos, Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Aleph, which is volumes 7, Zion in the sets. And we begin from Hilchas Dayonim, Halacha Aleph. Today is Beis Elul, Tov Shin Ayin Gimel. Hashem, who helped us start and finish the other volumes, should help us start and finish this volume. Amen. Hilchas Dayonim, Hilchas Aleph, Halacha Aleph, the laws of judges. Rav Nosson Zal begins with the quote from the first mission in Masechta Sanhedrin, Dinei Momonois B'Shloisha, that money matters, litigation regarding money matters that has to be brought to Jewish court, requires a court of 3 judges. That's the smallest court that you can have in generally, according to the Torah. There's what's known as Yochid Mumcha. The Gemara speaks about certain cases where you have one rabbi who is so great a Talmud Chacham that he can be considered like a court of 3 judges if both sides agree and with all kinds of requirements. But in standard Jewish law, the smallest court is 3 judges. And now Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain why. This halacha is going to be based al pi ha-maimar ha-maschil meshra de sakino b'may chatchilei. This halacha will be based on chapter 30 in Likutei Moran, which is one of those chapters that's involved in the debate between Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya and the wise men of Athens. This is presented in the Gemara Bechoris, page 8. There the Gemara says that in the days of the Gemara, just like throughout Jewish history, there was a major tug of war, a major battle, a spiritual battle, between the Chachmei Yisrael, the leading rabbis in Klal Yisrael, the leading tzaddikim, and the secular world. Secular being in the non-Jewish domain, especially the Greeks, known for their Greek culture, Greek philosophy, etc., and then spilling over into Klal Yisrael, Hellenist culture, you know, for which we have the holiday of Hanukkah, etc., etc. So the Gemara says at one point, a decision was made that the Chakima de Yehudoin, the wisest rabbi in the Jewish nation, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, would take on the challenge to travel to the place where these 70 wise men of Athens were and to debate with them. And the Gemara says that it was incredibly difficult to get into them. There was a whole trap set up to kill anybody who tried to enter into their academy, etc. Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, being the tzaddik that he was and being the great genius that he was, got over all the obstacles, got in to see them, and then there was a debate. They started debating. And the Gemara presents the entire debate. Rabbeinu Zal in Likutei Moran addresses about 80% of it. 80% of the challenges that went back and forth, which was all in code. All in code. Rabbeinu Zal gives his commentary to explain what they were really debating about. The other 20%, Rav Nosson Zal in Likutei Halachos Orach Chaim, I think it's volume 2 or 3, Rav Nosson Zal says, we're going to try to finish the job, finish what Rabbeinu Zal started, and explain the whole story, the background, and some of the actual debates that Rabbeinu Zal didn't touch on. He goes ahead and finishes them. And it's incredible, incredible. So this chapter of Likutei Moran deals with one of the debates where they asked him, if you have a field, usually in a field, you have an apple orchard, you have grain, a wheat field, a corn field. They asked them, what about if you have a field of knives? What do you cut it with? How do you harvest a field of knives? Meshra de sakina b'may chotchalei. So he answered them, that's simple, you know, and he gave them an answer. And then they came back, there was ping-pong. This was all in code, that they asked him a question, he had to understand what they really meant, and he had to answer them, and he answered them back in code, and they had to figure out to see if they understood what he was saying, back and forth. In the end, he was victorious, and he brought them back before the king, I think it was the Roman king at the time, who allowed him to kill all of them, because the Roman king saw that Rabbi Shua ben Hanya was smarter than all of them, and he defeated them all completely, you know, in the debate. Rav Nosson Zal says, Ayin Shom B'Sefer Likutei Aleph, Siman Lamed. Study that chapter in Likutei Moran so that you'll have a good foundation to understand this halacha. As usual, Rav Nosson Zal will try to give us a very brief synopsis that you need to be able to get started. Ki hadayonim heim bechinas malchus. Judges represent malchus. We know that in the Chumash, in Parshas Mishpatim, that's where it speaks about Jews coming before judges, and it refers to the judges as Elohim. One of the nicknames, a synonym in Torah for a judge is an Elohim. And we know that the name of Hashem Elohim represents different spheroids at different times. One of the spheroids that Elohim represents is Malchus. The kingdom of Hashem is called Elohim. And Rabbeinu Zal in chapter 4 in the Kutman quotes a pasuk, Velokim Malki Mikedem. Hashem is my king from way back. And again, it uses the name Elohim. So we know Elohim is Malchus. And there are other proofs for it also. So now Rav Nosson Zal says, judges represent Malchus. Another connection is, we know the Gemara, there's a famous expression in the Gemara, Dina de Malchusa Dina. That the law of the land is law. That Jews, in whatever land we live in, if we're not privileged to be living, even in Eretz Yisrael, when unfortunately, Rachmana Litzlan, there is secular law that rules in Eretz Yisrael, the religious people are obligated and required to comply with that law in many instances. As in every rule, there are exceptions, and a person needs to be very, very knowledgeable in Torah to know how to navigate these things. We need great Talmidei Chachamim, great Tzaddikim, who could tell us what the exceptions are, what's not an exception, etc. But we have this term, Dina de Malchusa Dina. The word Dina in Aramaic, Dalet Yud Nun Aleph, is Hashem's name, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which is Hashem's name for Malchus, Adon. Adon means a ruler. So we see that din, judgment, justice, courts, is all about Hashem's Midah of Malchus. We know that in a government, in any world government, in any world Malchus, one branch of government is the judiciary branch, the courts. That's part of the government, that's part of Malchus. Ki hadayonim heim bebechinas Malchus. Kiheim Moishlim, because they rule, they're the authority, they decide what the people in the country can or can't do. The Toivin, and also they have the ability to demand, in other words, to demand compliance with their rules. They establish the rules, they can demand compliance to the rules. The Koifin Ledin, and they can arrest somebody and have him brought to judgment. Upoiskin hadin v'hamishpat, and they decide the judgment kederech hamelech, just like a king did in those countries where there's a king, a singular ruler. He sets up the rules. He can have the person arrested. He can have the person judged. Another form of that is when you have courts. Bibechinas dina de malchusa dina. V'chein kosav Rabbeinu Neir Yoyer, and Rabbeinu Zal also writes this in Likutei Moran, Shalidei Hamishpot Oilo Hamalchus, that when there's judgment and justice, that elevates the Malchus, the kingdom. That's what establishes and substantiates a kingdom. V'alkein Tzrichim Hadayonim Lihiyois Soinei Betza. And it's for this reason that the Shulchan Aruch tells us that one of the requirements for being a judge, according to the Torah, is that the person has to despise graft or other people's monies. He don't want anybody else's money. He has no desire, interest whatsoever in anybody else's money, and therefore cannot be tempted by anybody else's money. This is called soine betza. This is a very, very important term because it's used in the Chumash. When Yisroi gave advice to Moshe Rabbeinu, when he saw how Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to lead the Jewish people when they came out of Mitzrayim in the desert, single-handedly, Yisroi said to him, You're going to die from this. You're going to fall apart. There's no way in the world you can control and lead and rule 600,000 men plus women plus all of this by yourself. You must have a government. And Yisrael spoke to him about Sore Alofim, Sore Meois, Sore Chamishim, Sore Asores. You must set up a hierarchy of people who are responsible over thousands, people who are responsible over hundreds and fifties and tens units, etc. And Yisroi said to him then what the requirements should be for these leaders. Yirei Elokim, Anshei Emes, Sonei Botza. They have to be what we call God-fearing people. Yirei Elokim, Anshei Emes, they have to be honest people, and Sonei Botza. They have to be people who hate, who despise graft, bribe, all of that kind of stuff. It's disgusting to them. It would be they would vomit. They would, if anybody tried to offer them something that's not really theirs, that doesn't really belong to them. The Gemara says, interestingly, that when Moshe Rabbeinu went to search for people, he found people who fulfilled some of the requirements. He did not find anybody who fulfilled all of the requirements. If I recall correctly, I'm not positive, and it's going on tape, so we got to be careful. I believe that Soine Botza is the one that it says that he couldn't find. Soine Botza. This is an incredible high madrega. And in this chapter in Likutei Maran, chapter 30, which this halacha is based on, Rabbeinu Zal quotes the Zohar HaKodesh, which says that one of the most important ingredients in Malchus of Kedusha, is Soine Botza, meaning that we, like we discussed in the previous halacha that we spoke about at the end of Evan Ezer, the Jewish people are the Malchus of Hashem. We are the kingdom of Hashem. Hashem said, Va'atem tihiyuli mamleches koyanim v'goy kodosh. When it came to Matan Torah, Hashem called the entire Jewish people a kingdom of priests. Malchus. There's another pasuk in Hallel we say, Yisrael mam shaloysav, that the Jewish nation is the memshala of Hashem, the kingdom of Hashem. So Rabbeinu Zal there quotes the Zohar HaKadosh, which says that any Jew who wants to be part of the Malchus, forget judges, forget rulers, every Jew who wants to be part of establishing the Malchus of Hashem, the Malchus of Kedusha, must try to achieve this madrega called Soine Botza. Not that he hates money, he hates somebody else. He doesn't despise money. You can do unbelievable good with money. All kinds of mitzvahs you can do with money. Almost all the mitzvahs require money. But he hates somebody else's money. He has no desire. What's no desire, no interest, no temptation for something that's not his, that's somebody else's. Total disinterest. That's this term, Soine Botza, which is an incredible madrega of Tikkun Taivas Mamoin. Somebody else has a beautiful house, he's elated for the person. He enjoys it sometimes more than the person themselves. He's happier for the person than the person themselves are. So now Rav Nosson Zal here says, Shal Yedei HaMishpot Oyla HaMalchus. Rabbeinu Zal writes in Likutei Maran that when there's mishpot, when there's proper justice and courts, when the whole, that elevates the malchus. V'alkein tzrichim hadayonim liyos soinei betza. And this is why judges, who are the main backbone of the courts, must have this quality of soinei betza. Ki tikin hamalchus soidei soinei betza. Because since judges are mishpot, eila hamishpotim, and mishpot is what builds up malchus, and in order to build up malchus, you have to be soine botza, so judges have to be soine botza. And we see it all around us. Anybody who studies, I remember I've mentioned this before, there was a rabbi in America called Rabbi Pinchas Teitz, Zichron Avrocha, who lived in Elizabeth, New Jersey, a tremendous Talmud Chacham tzaddik, a person who was zeiche, to do tremendous things for Klal Yisrael, both where he lived. He went into a spiritual desert. When he came into this city of Elizabeth, New Jersey, there was almost no Yiddishkeit there, and the Yiddishkeit that was there was reform and conservative. And this Orthodox rabbi came off the boat from Riga. He was a student of the Or Sameach and parachuted into this town and started piece by piece, putting together a religious city. Kashrus, mikveh, education, everything. There's a biography written about him, and I had the zchus to meet him when things got interesting regarding Uman, when the Russians, during the time of communism, decided to build tall apartment buildings over the cemetery where Rabbi Nachman is buried, including over Rabbi Nachman's grave, and we had to look to find somebody who had connection with the American government and possibly with the Russian government. He was one of the major heroes in that story who helped out tremendously. And I had the privilege of spending quality time with him for weeks in Russia together, and then afterwards and before. And one of the things that he shared with me was, he said that if you want to know, the Torah is called life. Eitz Chaim Hi L'Machzikim Bo. He said, if you want to know the best commentary on life, if you want to understand why you're living and all kinds of things are happening around you and with you, and you want to understand what's going on, the place to look is in the Torah. Study Torah properly, you will have a clear explanation and understanding of everything going on in your life, the ups, the downs, everything. Then he said, and if you want to understand Torah, one of the best commentaries on Torah is life. Live. Live with your eyes open. Live. Get up in the, navigate. Start moving in this world. You'll have your eyes open. You will see the Torah come to life. We living today, like all times, see and hear every day about judges and courts and politicians, members of government, what traps them usually? That they're not soine botza. They're not on this madrega. They don't feel they have enough. They're not perfectly satisfied with what they have, so that you couldn't possibly offer them something that's not theirs. On the contrary, they see people around them who have more than that, and they're attracted to it, and can be bought by it, Rahman al-Islam. V'zeh b'chinas, and this is what the Pasuk says in Chumash, v'shoichad loy sikoch, do not accept bribes, ki ha-shoichad ye'aver einei chachomim, because a bribe can blind the eyes of a chacham, a person who's really intelligent and smart, can be blinded through shoichad. Hainu, al yedei pigam ha-shoichad shehi ahavas mamoin, through a defect in this area, when a person has the wrong kind of love for money, he doesn't just love his own money, he loves other people's money. When a person has that ahavas mamoin, then al yedei ze nifgam hamalchus. That person's malchus is defective, and that person is not helping to build the malchus of Hashem, the malchus of Kedusha. Shehu bechinas bas ayin, which is the pupil of the eye. Over there in Likutei Moran in chapter 30, Rabbeinu Zal quotes from the Zohar HaKodesh concepts that are brought throughout Kabbalah and throughout Hasidus, that on a certain basic level, you have top and bottom. The top is Chochmah, the bottom is Malchus, of the spectrum of Kedusha. The top is the sun, which represents Chochmah. The bottom is the moon, which represents Malchus. Male, female, we have all kinds of different examples of this. In the eye, we know the eye represents Chochmah. There's a pasuk where it says about Adam and Chava, Vatipokachno Einei Shneim. They ate from the Eitz HaDaas, and their eyes were opened. They got this high-level das. The word tipokachna is pikeach. Pikeach means a very smart person. So vatipokach, the eyes were pikeach. Pokeach ivrim, we say every morning. So the eyes represent chachmah, but the eye also has something black in it, like the moon, which has no light of its own. It reflects the light of the sun. So too in the eye, you have the colored rings, which are light. You have the pupil, which is black, totally black, and yet plays a very important role in the vision of the person. So the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that the eye in general is called Chachmah. The pupil of the eye, which in Hebrew is Bat Ayin, is called Malchus, which is usually referred to as Bat, the daughter, Rabbeinu Zalveh quotes the Gemara that Avraham Avinu had a daughter, Bat Hoyoloi LaAvram uBakol Shmo. Her name was Bakol. When it says that Hashem blessed Avraham Avinu Bakol with everything, we know that the word everything sometimes refers to the Malchus. We gave the example many times of the Seder plate. You have a person on a night of Pesach sitting at the Seder. The Zohar HaKadosh says you have all 10 spheroids in front of you. You have the 3 matzahs, which are the 3 parts of the brain, Chochma Bina Das, or Keser Chochma Bina. You have the 6 things that are on the Seder plate, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. So you have 9. Where's number 10? The Ariya says number 10 is the plate. The plate, you don't eat the plate. You're right, you don't eat the plate is nothing. And the plate is everything. Without the plate, you have nothing. Go ahead, put it in midair. Put the mara and zora in midair. So that's the malchus, which we say that it has no, it's nothing, and yet it's everything. It holds everything together. So here, Rav Nosson Zal says that that through avas momoin, when a person likes other people's money also and can be bribed, through that person, the malchus is defective. Shehu bechinas batai, in the malchus, which is compared to the pupil of the eye, vehi bechinas chachmotato. And in Sifrei Kabbalah, one of the nicknames for malchus is chachmotato. Chachmo ila, upper chachma, is what we usually call chachma. Lower chachma, the lowest branch of chachma, is malchus, government, etc. Ayin Shom, look over there in chapter 30 in the Kutimran. Vezehu, and this is why the pasuk says that shoychad bribery, the wrong kind of love for money, ye'aver enei chachamim, will blind the eyes of chachamim, meaning it'll mess up which chachamim? Chochmotato we're talking about here. We're talking about that lower, the malchus, the kings, the judges, those people get messed up by this. Now Rav Nosson Zal begins. V'alkein hadayonim heim shloisha, and it's based on this and based on what's brought in that chapter on the Kutimran, we could understand why the minimum court is 3 judges. Ki alias hamalchus el oyer haponim, because Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in the Kutimran, we know that the malchus is something that shifts. It goes up and down based on us. Based on when we do good things, we elevate the Malchus of Hashem. We lift it up. We lift it up out of the Sitra Achra sometimes, away from the Goyim, away from Tum and everything, and bring it into the domain of Kedusha. And then within Kedusha, the Malchus can move up the ladder. The Malchus can go up to Netzach Hoy Disoid. The Malchus can go up to Chesed Gvura Teferes. It's a moving target. And the Sifrei Kabbalah referred to this like a husband and wife. That the wife sometimes is referred to as below her husband. There's a pasuk that says, Vahu yimshoel boch. He will rule over you. The husband is on top, the wife is on bottom. In certain areas of halacha, in certain areas of Torah. There are other places in Torah where they seem to be presented as equals, side by side. You don't usually see a husband standing on his wife's head. You see them standing together a lot of times. And then the Zohar HaKadosh says, there's a pasuk that says, Eishes Chayil Ateres Bala. The woman of valor, that when a woman is really, really good and special, she is the crown on her husband's head. Crown means above. A crown is worn above the head. So the Zohar HaKadosh says that the Malchus moves. Depending on what's going on, the Malchus can be on bottom, and the Malchus, we have the term Aliyas HaMalchus, elevating the Malchus. So Rabbeinu Zal says there that when we elevate the Malchus, where do we elevate it to? We elevate it to the light of Hashem's face. There's a term that's used throughout the Torah, in Shmon Esrei, in Chumash, all over the place. The Oyer Haponim. At the end of Shmon Esrei, we say, Ki bi'or ponecho nasata lono Hashem Elokeinu, Toras Chaim, v'avas chesed, all over. In the Chumash, it tells us 3 times a year on the 3 holidays, Yeiroe kol zechurcho es penei Hashem Elokecha. 3 times a year, a Jew comes to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash, to see the light of Hashem's face. So there, in that chapter in the Kutimran, Rabbeinu Zal says that when we're elevating the Malchus, we want to plug it into the light of Hashem's face, which is another word for chachma, because there's a pasuk that says, chachmas adam to'ir panav, that the chachma of a person lights up his face, so that the malchus, which we said is called chachma tata, the lower chachma, when we elevate it, we want to elevate it, raise it up, to the Oyer HaPonim, which is Chachmo Ilah, which is the Beis HaMikdash, which is the sun. Shemisham Chiyusa, that's where the Malchus draws its life from. It draws its life from the face of Hashem, the light of Hashem's face. And when? Hu B'Sholosh Regolim, especially on the three holidays. Those are major times when we are Mamlech Hashem. As Rabbein Azal explains over there in chapter 30 in Likutei Moran. We know that what hides the kingdom of Hashem is teva, nature. When people think that the world is operating in a natural way, natural circumstances, he died of natural causes, all of that natural stuff, then we're replacing the word Hashem with nature, nature and natural. When the teva is tossed out the window, when Hashem pushes the eject button on teva and cancels the autopilot and grabs hold of the steering wheel and makes a quick turn, then suddenly everybody wakes up and says, whoa, I guess he really is alive and well and kicking. I guess there really is a Hashem. That's what the three holidays are about. Rabbein Azal says in chapter 4 in the second half of Likutei Moran that in Chumash it writes about the holidays that they are called Mikra Kodesh, that they announce the holiness of Hashem. How do they announce it? Because each one of the holidays reminds us of miracles that Hashem performed. The holidays are based on miracles. Pesach is based on the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Ten Makas, Kriyas Yamsuf. Shavuos is based on the miracles that took place on Har Sinai. They saw sound, everybody got cured, all the miracles that are described about Har Sinai. Sukkos, the miracles of the clouds that accompanied the Jews, that washed and laundered and tailored their clothing. It smoothed out mountains, it handled the landscaping stuff, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So this is why these holidays are called Mikra Kodesh, because we're celebrating the fact that Hashem replaced Teva with Hashgacha Prati, that everybody was able to see that he's in charge, he's alive and well, and he operates the world any which way he wants, that everything is Ratzon Hashem. Hashem is not bound by Teva whatsoever. When he wants, he turns on the Teva. When he wants, he turns it off, period. So that's why, that's part of the incredible significance of these holidays. And that's why it's on those days that the king, the Malchus of Hashem, is elevated. Because everybody sees, whoa, there really is a king. There really is somebody in charge. Kimay Shekosov Shom, as Rabbein Azal writes over there, V'zeh b'chinas shloisha dayonim keneged shloisha regolim. And therefore, the judges in a court, who are also Malchus, they correspond to the three holidays, three judges corresponding to the three holidays, She'al Yodom Oila HaMalchus, which are what elevate the Malchus. Ki HaTalmidei Chachomim Heim Bechinas Yontif, because the rabbis are the holidays. Ki Kedushas Yontif Tolui Bohem, because the holiness of the holidays is dependent on the rabbis, not on Hashem, on the rabbis. Kemoshikosov Rabbeinu Neir Yosef and Kuf Lamed Hei, as Rabbeinu Azal writes in chapter 135 in Likutei Moran. The Gemara says that when Rosh Hashanah is starting to come around, the angels come to Hashem and they say, isn't it going to be Rosh Hashanah soon? When is Rosh Hashanah? Hashem says, what are you asking me for? Go ask them. Whenever the rabbis declare Rosh Chodesh, that's when it'll be Rosh Hashanah. And we have the Pasuk in Chumash, Eile Moadei Hashem, these are the holidays of Hashem, Asher Tikru'u Oysom B'Moadom, which you will declare them, you will announce them at their proper times. the word osam is supposed to be spelled out, not osem, osam. Osam is supposed to be spelled aleph, vav, tof, mem. And in the Torah, the vav is left out. So that it can be read atem, which means you. Ele moati Hashem, these are the holidays of Hashem, the Gemara says, asher tikru atem, which you, the rabbis, will announce, b'moadam, at the proper time. The decision as to when Rosh Chodesh takes place is a decision by the rabbis. They have witnesses, we don't have it today, we're in Golos, there's no Beis HaMikdash. But when things were real, witnesses would have to come to Bezdin and say, we saw the moon, and it looked exactly like this, and the judges would interrogate them, and if the judges decided that that was a proper sighting of the moon, they would declare that day is Rosh Chodesh. And they defined when, so the Talmidei Chachamim are the holidays. The holidays are defined by the Talmidei Chachamim. Ki ha-shloisha dayonim ha-poiskim ha-psagdin, because the three judges who establish law, who decide law, heim bebechinas halacha karabim, they are an example of a decision being established based on a majority, majority rules. Kede'isa betikunim, as is brought in the Tikkunei Zohar, deles rabim poches mitlos. You can't have a majority over a minority unless you have three. The minimum way you can have that is two against one, which is if you have three, a quorum of three. De'inun misitra da'avhon. And the Tikkunei Zohar says, this is related to the Avoy sector. We know the number three in Judaism is usually plugged into Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. The Alayhu Itmar, it's about them that the Gemara says, Halacha Karabim, that the law is like the Rabim, meaning that they are law, they are Jewish law, the Talmidei Chachamim, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, the foundation of Klal Yisrael. By the way, the Sifrei Kabbalah say that the word halacha, which means malchus, again, halacha is deciding law is called halacha, is the same letters as the word hakala, the bride. Because again, the bride is malchus. She is the malchus, we said. She can be the crown on her husband's head if she's on the highest level. Otherwise, she is beneath him. She is the malchus, who is the bottom on the totem pole. V'ha-shalosh regolim heim bebechina shalosh avos kamuva. And we know that the three holidays correspond to the three forefathers, as is brought in Sforim. Pesach corresponds to Avram Avinu. That's why we start the Seder with the words, kol dichvin yetzev yechel. Anybody hungry, please come and join us. That was the meat of Avram Avinu, the house that was open on all four sides. Everybody's welcome, achnos asorchem. That's how we start the Seder. So Pesach is Avram Avinu. Shavuos is Yitzchak Avinu. On Shavuos, they blew the shofar on Har Sinai. They blew the shofar and they heard the sounds of the shofar and all of that. That's Yitzchak Avinu, who was replaced, who was substituted by the ram at the Akedah. And Sukkos corresponds to Yaakov Avinu for many reasons. There's a pasuk in Chumash that says, Vayavo Yaakov Sukkosa, that Yaakov Avinu arrived at a place called Sukkos. And the Sifrei Kabbalah show that Yaakov Avinu, his midah is Sukkos. So the three holidays correspond to the three forefathers. Nimtza, we see therefore, Shehadayonin heim bebechinas avon, that the three judges who are Malchus, they correspond to the three forefathers of the Jews. Bechinas sholosh regolim, the three holidays. And again, holidays are called regolim. Regel in Hebrew means holiday. Regel is the feet, which is the malchus. V'alkein muzhorin beyoser al nesias ponim badin. And this is why, when the Torah tells us what judges have to be careful about, they have to be careful about not showing favoritism to the rich guy or to the poor guy. No favoritism. And that's called nesius ponim. We say in Birkas Kohanim, Yiso Hashem ponov eilecha, we're asking Hashem to please show us favoritism. So the Gemara says, how could you say such a thing? Aren't there psukim in the Torah that say that Hashem is honest, that Hashem don't play favorites? So the Gemara says, Hashem says, what are you talking about? How can I not play favorites with the Jewish people? Look how they treat me. I said in the Torah that when you eat a full meal, v'ochalta v'savata, when you eat a major five-course meal, uveirachto es Hashem alekecha, you should bless Hashem. And they bless me over a kezias. When they have a kezias or a kebetz of bread, they're already saying birkas hamazon. So look how far, look how well they treat me. Look how they go beyond the rule. Why shouldn't I go beyond the rule for them? So this term, nesias ponim, that the judges are warned in courts not to play favorites. Kedei sheloi lifgoim ba'oir haponim. This is in order not to damage, not to mess up the source from which Malchus draws its light, which is the Oyer Haponim. That's the terminology that's used, the light of the face. Kihem tzrichim lahalois hamalchus el Oyer Haponim. Because the judges are playing an incredibly important role in elevating the Malchus. Where do you elevate the Malchus to? To the Oyer Haponim. Therefore, they have to be careful with ponim, not showing a face, a better face or a worse face, to this guy or that guy. Shemishom chiyusa, that's the source of the chiyus of the Malchus. K'moy shekosu shom, as Rabbeinu Zal writes there in chapter 30. V'ze b'chinas hevu mesunim badin. And with this, we understand the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, where it starts giving advice. The opening statement of advice in Pirkei Avos is these three words: "Hevi mesunim badin," be slow in judgment. People, a person comes to ask you a question. I heard that question. The answer was this: bang, shoot the answer. The Gemara says, don't do that. Listen very carefully to the question. Sometimes something sounds exactly the same as something you learned, but if you listen more carefully and if you go a little slowly, you see that there's a little nuance, there's a little difference there that could change the law completely, completely, totally. I give an example sometimes with Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Levrocha. He was privileged in the 1950s, late 40s, 50s, to be involved in outreach, making people Shomer Shabbos, Shomer Mitzvahs. And one time a student started coming to his classes who was totally not religious, parents, everything. And the kid's father died. And the kid came to ask Rav Rosenfeld, can you tell me what's Shiva? What do you do? What do you don't do? So he told him, you stay home, you sit at home. And for 7 days, he said, what about Shabbos? He said, of course, Shabbos also. You sit Shiva, you know. And somebody heard about this. And they said, oh, those Hasidim, they don't know anything in halacha. Any moron knows that you don't sit Shivan, you don't sit on Shabbos. Everybody knows, you know. And they went and told this to Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zichron Levrocha, at the time. They wanted to tell on this Hasidic rabbi that he don't know what he's doing. You know, imagine somebody told somebody to sit Shiva on Shabbos. So he asked them, who's the rabbi that said it? So they told him. He said, you better go find out why he said it. Because if he said it, it isn't because he doesn't know the law. They checked it out and they found that it was very simple. He knew that if he told this person he doesn't have to sit on Shabbos, he'd get in the car and go to work. Very simple. So this was the first and what is sitting on Shabbos? Staying, not getting in the car. So of course you sit Shivan Shabbos. What's the question? That was the first Shabbos that this kid observed in his life to honor the memory of his father. His father, during the Shiva, had the first Shabbos that his son kept because a rabbi was smart enough, was intelligent enough to understand the halacha, to know the five sections of Shulchan Aruch. There's Orach Chaim, Yoredeya, Chosh Mishpot Eben Ezer, and section number five is common sense. Can't do without that. That after all the learning, you have to be able to look at a person or look at a situation and be slow, not give the standard answer. Any idiot knows that you don't sit on Shah. But a non-idiot would know that for this person, the answer is, of course you sit Shiva on Shabbos. What's the question? Of course you sit on Shabbos. Have a mesunim badin upirish. What does that mean? Dahainu, she'im yovei lefonav din echot shtei pomim. The Gemara says, if the same situation presents itself before a judge twice, if you had it last week or last year, and now a same situation comes up again, or three times, al yoimar, don't say, I heard this already, it's simple, bang, this is the law. Don't do that. But rather, each time the situation comes up, ask questions, check it out, make sure you understand the circumstances and the people involved. Heite, very, very, check it out carefully. Ki alias hamalchus el asechel, shubchenasor upon him, because on a spiritual level, the concept of elevating the malchus up to the oyer haponim, which is sechel, ki hi bechinas chochmat haTorah, because malchus, we said, is called chochmat haTorah, shenis tzamtzem bo hasechel ho'elyon. Malchus has a shrunken version of the chochmah ilah, of the higher level sechel. Kemo shekosav shom, as Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in chapter 30. Ki hadayonim tzrichim lalois hamalchus minefilosa. Because the judges, they have the job of elevating the malchus from its fallen state. We know again that the malchus sometimes falls. And just like it can go all the way up to the top, it can fall all the way down the ladder, and then it can fall further down. It goes into the basement. It goes into the sitrachrin, into the tumah. And we see them being king. King Achashverosh. King Nebuchadnezzar, King. The word Nebuchadnezzar, the Sifrei Kabbalah bring, has the word kavod in it, kavod, showing that again, this was the kavod of Hashem, Malchus, dropping into the Sitrachra. Ki elu sheyesh beinayim horiv, because these two people or these two groups who are coming before the judge, who have this disagreement, this conflict, hu bechinas nefilas hamalchus. That's an example, that's a display of a fallen malchus. Shenofal etzlam. It has fallen, the malchus of Hashem has fallen by these two people. Ki michoy kamalchus sheyisnagu b'nei odon b'yosher v'lo yaseh shum echod avla neged chaveroi. Because the laws of malchus dictate that everybody should behave. Everybody should do the right thing. Nobody should do the wrong thing. Nobody should take away anybody's money. Nobody should break somebody's property. Nobody should you know, make somebody else crazy. Rak sheyeh b'neihem sholom v'shalva. But rather, the whole concept of malchus, government, authority, is all about keeping the peace, maintaining the peace. K'may shamru, as the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, hevi mispalel b'shloimo shel malchus. Pray for the peace of Malchus, P-E-A-C-E. Not that you want a piece of the action, not that you want a piece of the Malchus. For peace, Shalom of Malchus, She'il mole moiro, because were it not for people being afraid and respectful of government, Ishes re'eyu chayim below, people would swallow each other up alive. They'd kill each other. So we see the whole concept of Malchus is shalom. So when two people come to court and they scream, he's a moron, he's a criminal, the lack of shalom means that the malchus is imperfect here. There's a nefila to the malchus. And as we mentioned earlier, sheha malchus tikuna bebechina shalom. That the tikun of malchus, when is a government, when is a malchus perfect? When there's total peace in the land. Ve'elu habalei dinim. And these two litigants, who obviously one of them or both of them have done something wrong, there's some improper behavior here regarding the Yashrus and Choyke the Malchus, until there broke out a fight, an argument, a judgment between them, Nimtza Shehamalchus Nofal Etzlam. So we see regarding these two individuals, the malchus that's related to them is in a fallen state. V'alkein mitzvosom sheyikshu el hamishpat. Therefore, the mitzvah for them is to go to court, to go to mishpat, lifnei hadayonim, before judges, v'heim malin pigam hamalchus mibineim. The job of the judges is to elevate the malchus always, and to establish the malchus that has fallen by these two people. Va'isin shalom. The judges are supposed to make peace. U'poiskin es adin. And to decide law. V'alkein tzrichim b'chol pam lachkor hadin b'sichlom. And this is why the judges have to always interrogate, investigate, use their brains to ask all the right questions so that they get a clear picture. We know a lot of times a person comes to ask a shaila by a rov, and he asks the shaila a certain way sometimes because he's looking, he's shopping for a certain answer. And sometimes the rov will give him the exact answer. The person comes to rov to ask, this ice cream is kosher, right? The rov says, of course it's kosher. The guy goes and eats the whole ice cream. Another guy walks into the rav 5 minutes later and says, Rabbi, would you eat that ice cream? He says, Chas v'sham, never. He says, Rabbi, do you have a twin brother? Because my friend just came in and he said he spoke to somebody that looked just like you and you said it's kosher. He says, no twin brother. Then how come you told him, of course it's kosher, and you're telling me, of course you wouldn't eat it? He said, because he asked me, he said, isn't it kosher? I said, yes, it is. It's kosher. You know, it's acceptable. Would I eat it? No, there's different kosher. There's different standards. Kosher has 6,000 levels. If I see he's pushing for a yes, I'm allowed to give him the yes that he wants. I'm allowed to give him what he wants. It says, the Gemara says, "Bederech shodom rotzeh leilech molichen also." The path that a person wants to go on, Hashem leads him on that path. But if he knows how to ask a shaila the right way, or if the rabbi or the judge knows how to interrogate the litigants to bring out the truth, to get some of that information that they're withholding, which has major effect on the judgment, then it's a whole different story. When the judge is using his seichel properly to ask all the right questions to get a clear, honest picture of what it was all about. Kedei lahalois hamalchus, in order to elevate the malchus, she'ikar aliyosa el haseichel. And we said before, the main aliyah of malchus is to seichel, to chokhmah, shemich shom chiyusa. That's where the malchus draws its life from, its spiritual life. Vezeh, and this is why the pasuk says in Chumash, tzedek, tzedek, tirdoif. Pursue justice, pursue righteousness. Why? Leman tichye, so that you will live. Look at the word terminology that's being used. Chaim. We're trying to get Mamshe Chaim into the Malchus. We mentioned many times that the Gemara says Malchus is Mekaberes es Baleho. That Horabonus Mekaberes Baleho. Kingdom buries, it kills, it's judgment. Din, Midas Adin, Gvura is judgment. That's why you have to always be pumping Chiyus into the Malchus. That's why the Malchus must be plugged into the Oyer Haponim so that it's constantly receiving light. Otherwise, the default, Chas V'Shalom, is death. Like we see most kings end up dead, either physically dead or other ways, you know, dead. So the pasuk says, tzedek, pursue justice, leman tichye, in order to elevate the malchus to chayim, to chochma, hachochma techaye bo'aleho. Kal yedei habezdin yofe, because when there's a beautiful bezdin, when there's a proper bezdin, shehem malin hamalchus eloyer haponim, who elevate the malchus and plug it into its source, which is the oyer haponim, which is seichel, which is chachma, shemishom mekabeles chiyusu kanal. That's where the malchus receives its light from. Just like the moon receives its light from the sun, aydeze nimshach chiyus gam lamato. This also spreads life down below, on earth. Ki kulam mekablim chiyus al yoda. Because everyone, everything receives chiyus via the malchus. We in this world, we all receive, we don't receive direct from chachma. Everything feeds into the malchus. There's a pasuk, kol hanecholim hoilchim al hayam. All streams feed into the sea, into the ocean. People that look at pictures of oceans, these big bodies of water, they're being fed by all kinds of rivers and lakes and bodies of water. So the Zohar HaKadosh says, these streams are the spheroids, chachma, bina, chesed, gvura. These streams all feed into this. El Hayam is Elokim, makes up the word Elokim, which is, we said earlier, one of the nicknames of the Malchus. All the streams feed into the Malchus, And the Malchus is the one that distributes to the world, to us, to the world. Everything has to go via that Malchus. V'zeh sham Rabbi Seinu Zal, and this is why the Gemara says, Mi beidina shokal glima zemora v'ozal burcha. That from Bezdin, he took a certain garment and he left and went on his way. Ki isa shom b'maymar hanal, because Rabbeinu Zal says over there in chapter 30 in Likutei Moran, b'soifoi, at the end, we'll see in a moment. That shetikin hakoil alidei b'chinas tikin hamalchus, ayin shom. Rabbeinu Zal says over there, Rabbeinu Zal says over there that the tikun of koil, sound, voice, is through tikun hamalchus. This is something that's brought many, many times throughout the Zohar HaKadosh. We spoke before about the sun and the moon, chachma and malchus, male and female. Another example of that is koil and dibur. The Zohar HaKadosh speaks about koil and dibur. Koil is sound. Dibur is speech. What's the difference between sound and speech? Sound is unformatted, unrestricted, no boundaries. Dibur is, I'm taking the sound and I'm chopping it up. I'm formatting it into letters, into words, into speech. Just like we always say that the Malchus is boundaries. Boundaries, kelim, etc. So Rabbeinu Zal over there at the end of that chapter speaks about that these two are dependent on each other. That the tikkun of the koil is dependent on tikkun amalchus. V'alkein, and therefore, achar shekibel esadin, after a litigant, when two people come to court, and Bezdin decides in favor of one of them, and the other one says, okay, I thought I was right, I was sure I was right, but if Bezdin says he's right, that's it, I accept it. We see that this person's malchus has been repaired. Before, when he came into court, he was sure he was right. Bezdin decided that he was wrong, that his way was not, and he accepts that their ruling. That's tikkun amalchus. Shebetchila nifgemes etzloi v'alkein zemora v'ozel ki niskan b'chinas hakoil, because this is the tikkun for koil shehu b'chinas malchus. I have to check again, look at this Gemara, to see exactly what the translation is. It seems that the word zmara here refers to zemer, song, koil. And the shokal glima means that a person, that like a judgment was given, the person took his coat and left, and it was both litigants accepted the decision of the court. And the Gemara refers to it as zmara, zemer, singing. That because when litigants come into court at first, there's pigam in malchus, because someone's not right here. Someone is breaking the law, going against the law. When they accept the law upon themselves, that's tikkun amalchus. That's automatically tikkun for the koil, the shira, the zemer. We'll hold it over here for now.